Are you ready? So everyone has to find their own particular way to interpret a chart. That is going to be the number one thing to remember. You have to find your own way. This is a guide. This kind of helps a little bit, but you're still going to master in personalized readings the way you see fit. So as I start out with the basics, do realize that this is just the basics and that it's a good foundation to use as you add on your own knowledge and intuition and understanding. It's just a building block. So I suggest to begin your chart interpretations with locating the sun, the moon, the ascendant. This is going to give you an idea of the subject of the chart reading, where they came from, where they're going, as well as a good starting point for, deeper exploration of the actual chart itself, the actual map itself. So while looking at the planets, what do you notice about them? Is there a lot of them in a particular spot? Just things like that. What about those houses and the zodiacs that rule them? Are there any signs missing or are they duplicated? Looking at the houses, should you bring your attention to the hemispheres? Like, did you notice there's hemispheres? You can get an idea of a person's personality just by the hemisphere alone. Figure out the chart shape. I mean, is it a bucket, splay, etc.? Even though some people might not factor them into interpretations, they can give great overview without even having to look at the chart details. That is just looking at the picture itself. So, while you're looking at this picture, did you notice the quadrants, angles, house polarities? What signs are missing? What signs are dominating? Are there signs at different degrees, retrogrades? Look at the modalities, the elements, the polarities. What's the dominant one? Are there any lacking? What about having too much water or no air or, things like that? Is the chart balanced? Now, if all of this sounds foreign to you, we're going to start with a glossary. But, or as I say, astro language. So, first and foremost, you need to understand the astrological terms like ecliptic, horizon, horoscope, modalities, polarities. The direction on the chart are critical knowledge. Know what the signs and the planets represent. The good, the bad, the ugly. Become familiar with the energies of each of them or the personalities, quote unquote. Know the difference between inner and outer planets. It's wise to remember the different glyphs, which are the little symbols, because it becomes easier just to draw it out or write it down or understand quickly when you're applying multiple celestial bodies to the chart or your reading. Make note of what system you're using. Before you begin to add additional celestial bodies like fixed stars and asteroids, become comfortable with the planets and the zodiacs alone. Nodes, aspects, eclipses, asteroids, other celestial points, they're all going to take time to understand and incorporate. So you got to start from the beginning and start slow. Remember that the chart is a map of the heavens in the relation to the earth. So simple but easy to forget. So make sure to commit the type of translations of the map that you're doing. So are you doing a natal chart? Are you doing a composite chart? Is it esoteric understanding or is this going to be a medical one? Or are you doing sanistry? Get a thorough understanding of the major aspects, conjunction, opposition, square, trine, sexto, and the numbers. Understand basic geometry, like I said, and the numbers theory. Know why a triangle is more steady than a square, or the core meaning of to the numbers will help in remembering the aspects and the houses, as well as even more understanding when you get a little further in your learning. It's imperative that you study other subjects again, I'm going to say imperative. Astrology is going to make a lot more sense to you if you understand literature, philosophy, basic psychology, religious symbols, comparative to mythology or symbolic language that you might have heard from different religions, and you know, as well as instead of like Googling the interpretation of a particular aspect or celestial body, try researching it or reading a story or something like a background, you know. So instead of looking up Mercury in a third house of Scorpio means what, understand who Mercury is and why is Mercury so important, or what the third house, even basic three, you know. So you kind of pay attention, and also remember that in one system it might not be saying the same as in another, or you'll hear terms interchangeably, but they're not all terms are interchangeable. You also know that astrology kind of follows Greek stories and mythology and understanding, but you'll see Roman, you'll see Norse, you'll see plenty of other influences as well. So the confusion can come really, really, really more confusing once you start adding asteroids and stuff in there. But my final thoughts is learn the foundations, learn the basics, have a good understanding, and then apply intuition, personality, and common sense. And if you're gifted, it's just going to be there. Don't be discouraged. I just encourage you to realize that nobody can teach you astrology, but you can learn the fundamentals, the basics, the root. But know that all this understanding and root and foundational information does carry along in other things in your life. You'll notice it play into tarot cards, numerology, relationships, everyday conversation, astronomy. Just you'll notice it once you start understanding. And with that, that's when a lot of times it'll start to click. The basics will transcend time and disciplines. And you just add to that. So it's going to be a never-ending learning quest with a plethora of information. But if you really want it, or you really think this is something that you need to learn or something that you can apply in every day, then stick with it. And don't ever be afraid to ask questions, because it is something that I fully and truly believe is the roadmap to a whole lot of things. So with that being said, I can't wait to start breaking it down and teaching a little something. What is astrology? Astrology is the observation of the interplay between the planets and our Earth. Astrologers call the sun and the moon planets for the sake of convenience, although they're actually luminaries. Each planet represents an energetic part of our being or a component of life, i.e. emotions, communication, love style, etc. Your personal astrological chart is a snapshot of the planets in the heavens. It captures the location of the planets within the houses at the exact time of your birth. The position of each planet in the heavens indicates the style in which the planet's component is manifested. Earth is not included in the list of planets. However, Earth's interplay in the scheme of things is denoted by the ascendant. Each planet symbolizes a different component of life, a different type of energy. In psychological terms, we can call them needs or drives, So, a little backstory. Before the 18th century, only the first seven planets were recognized. They were perceivably to be naked, well, to be seen by the naked eye. The Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Since over 2,000 years ago, the seven classical planets were observed to keep time orbiting steadily on their paths. Perhaps that is why the number seven was symbolic of deities in ancient cultures. The seven were named after Greek gods because their influence was considered to be as such. Seven was the number of days chosen for a week, with each day borrowing its name from one of the classical planets. The days making up our calendar month were determined based on one complete cycle through the 12 zodiac signs by the moon, from which the word month comes from. Although astrologers cannot argue about the horizon line and the vertical axis, these are fixed positions according to the four directions. They have disagreed about how to slice the pie of the sky up into 12 pieces called the houses. So, because of that, we have a slew of house systems, mostly named for the prominent part of the system. So there's like Placides, Koch, Campus, etc., etc. And some are named for their properties, equal, meridian. You know, you also have other ones like Draconic. There's fixed stars. Anyways, so sidereal. Well, because of such disagreements, there are astrologers who do not use house systems at all, although they usually give more attention to the planets near the angles of the chart. Some astrologers prefer to use houses which are all equal in size. This system is called the equal house system. Frequently, it is used when the birth time is not known. The sun is placed either on the eastern horizon, which is the ascendant, or at the midhaven, which is the southern part of the chart. And all the houses start with the degree of the sun, or you can make all the houses begin with 0 degrees of a sign called whole sign houses. When you use an equal house system, starting from the ascendant, the actual midhaven probably won't be exactly at the 10th house cups, although it should somewhere be towards the top of the chart. Now, I will say, learn whatever one you want to, use whatever one you want to, but be understanding and open-minded about which system you're using, as well as why you're using it and what exactly that it's based off of. So if you're using one like Draconic, it's really based off of where your nodes, your north and south node are. Then there's your whole house system, which for me personally, you know, nothing is, you know, basically equal. So the whole house system isn't bad because it just, you know, kind of places things where they look like they should be, you know, but in the strength of making everything start with zero and go from there. So it can kind of give you a better rough estimate, like just because it starts from zero and ends at 30 degrees for you or whoever's information is inputted does not automatically mean it's going to be perfectly aligned. Unlike those with the equal house system, it clearly keeps basically everything equal. Now, if you remember what I said, when you're looking at just the picture of it, to be honest, I don't want to see equal houses because I understand that there are more influential things in somebody else's chart, which it can be represented just at the picture itself. If the sixth house looks way larger than, you know, the 12th house or the house next door at the seventh house or something. So it just kind of gives you a better idea. But look at them all and see which one you feel comfortable for. And remember, you can use different systems for different answers that you're trying to achieve. Just because everybody uses one doesn't mean you have to. And just because you've, you know, only heard or thought about this particular thing, you know, in this way, doesn't mean that you can't try something else. I mean, you can break it down as much as you want. It's an abundance of celestial bodies out there, and it's a space that is infinite. So there's going to be an abundance of infinite information to be understood. So have fun with it. A foreign language. So where is the subject? You might as well remember all of your subjects that you learned in school are going to play. So as I go over and kind of introduce, pay attention to my verbiage, because you'll realize that I interchange a lot. I give examples of, and I use terms that, you know, are simplified and easier to remember. So, but that's just me. That's how I, kind of how I teach. So where's the subject? Well, the subject of the chart is the person, the entity or the event that the chart was created for, or it was, you know, being interpreted for. A chart can apply to anything with a beginning moment in time, whether that's a person, an animal, company, an event, a situation. Now, you know why beginning moments are so important is because any entity that takes on the energy present at the time it begins is going to be very, very, very relevant in the correct composition of the chart. So once again, any entity takes on the energy present at the time it begins. So if I walk down a street and I met you, that's our beginning moment, and that is now going to be the start of the energy that we present from their point on together, or influenced by, you know, that moment in either your life or my life particularly. So with that in mind, carefully choose the time that your chart is going to begin, especially in reference to, you know, an event or a company, or when you do composites, stuff like that, because that moment is basically the creation of the energy that you're trying to figure out. So it's important to know that, basically. And when you, you know, get into more of the people type charts, not particularly, you know, events or companies, it's going to be very important to understand that birth time, birth place, and for me, I even add in name at birth. You know, they're very important, you know, as more than just the date of birth. So you can still create charts without knowing the exact time. And there is a science to it, for figuring out a person's birth time. Now, I will not talk about that in this, but I will say that you can still create a chart pretty accurately with a couple different methods without knowing a person's birth time. Needless to say, not knowing a person's birth time and creating a chart on the web or, you know, some software or something will put everything in a generalized position, and it kind of reads funny to me. If you can get as close as possible, even if they say, well, I know it was in the morning, that's better than nothing. But like I said, there's a whole science to that side of things. Now, events, things like that, not as critical, not knowing the time. But we call that electing the moment. So, anyways, beyond that, those 12 signs, everybody hears the 12 sun signs, are not astrology. They are not astrology. They are just one part of the alphabet of astrology. The other parts of the alphabet are the planets, the houses, aspects, asteroids. You can do harmonics, degrees, angles, way more to it. Please remember this important point though. So those so-called sun horoscopes in the newspapers or in Google or in magazines are not really horoscopes. They're just generalized BS that is totally useless for guidance. The computer will create a horoscope which gives you more information about the planet itself, not the planet in your situation or in your horoscope, but more of a generalized understanding of the planet in the play that it could possibly have at that moment. They aren't catered for any particular person or anything like that. They are just generalized information. And now, with that information about that particular, planet position or whatever they call it, what's going on, can they be used? Yes. It's a general influence. If Mercury is heavy in, the celestial sky right now, then yes, the understanding of Mercury can be used in your own particular, but is it exact? No. They are just bits and pieces that are put together to kind of make a person understand a little bit more. I look at them as copy and paste. If you just copy and paste the different things and kind of shove it together, that's pretty much what those are. So, creating a chart on any of the millions of websites that are out there is not frowned on. It's not a bad idea. Very few people can still actually create charts by hand. I can, but you don't see it very often. But do not take as word or as, exact the interpretations that they give you. You can take the understanding of basically whatever that planet or position could possibly bring to your life or your understanding, but it is not catered directly, particularly for you. Because if that was the case, a lot of people would understand way more than, they do about their own path, as well as the computer doesn't have intuition. The computer doesn't have the gift that people like myself, as an esoteric astrologist or whoever else that you utilize, can have. So it's we have more of a gift and understanding, and use more than just the definition of something to explain. It's kind of a little bit different. Difference between a computer doing a job and a person doing it, it's more personalized. So just wanted to put that out there. But like I said, learning the foundation is always good on anything because it'll allow you to be able to wean out the fluff. So here we go about our foreign language. So planets, they're like verbs. They express the drives that humans have in common, or they show energy and action. Each planet has a function. For instance, the moon indicates your emotions, Mars your energy, etc., etc. A planet influences the matters of the house in which the planet is located. By virtue of rulership, a planet has an impact on any house that begins with a sign that the planet rules. So, for example, Pluto, for example, Pluto being the planet, rules the ninth house, or actually Pluto rules the eighth house, for example. Well, Pluto is going to have an impact on that eighth house, even though Pluto might not be in that house. You know what I'm saying? The influence or the energy that Pluto brings is going to always have or resonate with that house. So, and now we'll talk about them more later on. Anyways, the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, are called the transpersonal or transcendental planets. They have more to do with big changes and slow-moving developments, both in society and in our personal lives. Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. Yes, I use Pluto as a planet, even though it technically might not be anymore, but those are transpersonal or transcendental. They are long-term, slow development, more in a bigger society type of way or influence. Does not mean that they don't have a personal influence to you. No, but you might not notice their energy in a particular situation, but more of an overall. Signs, they're like adverbs. They modify the expression of the planet's influence, showing how they are being expressed. So each sign affects how the planet functions. Any planet in the sign of Aries, for instance, will tend to be extra active. Any planet in the sign of Pisces, on the other hand, will tend to function more through the imagination. So they are adverbs. They modify an expression, or they, basically they describe what the verb is doing. You know what I'm saying? So, in the verb being the planet. And the house is, the house can be used as another adverb as well, where it's showing where the energies are going to operate, or what to focus on. So each house shows where in your life the planet is working the most. Any planet in your second house, for example, will affect money, possessions. Any planet in your fifth house will affect maybe creativity, love, romance, stuff like that. I learned when in my early, younger, beginning type years, the planet is the what, the sign is the how, and the house is the where. So the planet is what the energy or what it's going to do. The sign is how it's going to do it. And the house is where it's going to do it at. And the final type of adverb is going to be an aspect. This is an interaction of energies between the two planets, showing where they harmonize or clash. Aspects are divisions of the zodiac circle, which vary into a fraction or more of a figure or a pattern. There are certain angles between planets. They are basically how the planets work together. It is the connection between how the planets kind of work, and that is what an aspect is going to be. So if the planet is the what, the aspect would be the would be the the effect of what, how, and where that happened. Now it's what is the answer, what is the solution, what is the you know, the reason, or what is the outcome, or you know, or what did it create, what did all that make, basically what kind of be what an aspect is, you know, it is the picture basically of all of these together. And I'm going to leave it at there right now.